Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's program was brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country? For more information, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. And on today's show, we are very pleased to have with us Janet Keller, who is the Communications and Public Relations Manager for this year's World Dairy Expo and also a dairy cattle breeder. Thank you for being on the show with us, Janet.
To talk to your audience today.
So where are you based? Are you based in Wisconsin yourself?
I am based right south of Madison, Wisconsin, a little town called Oregon, so I'm about 10 minutes from our World Dairy Expo headquarters.
All right. So the World Dairy Expo is the international dairy meeting place. It's a five-day event showcasing the finest in dairy genetics and the newest technologies available to the dairy industry. It's happening in Madison this October, and does it happen in Madison every year, or does it change locations?
It does. We're really pleased that this year we're celebrating our 47th annual event. And so many years ago when our founding group sponsored World Dairy Expo, it was just a very initial thought of having a cow show right here in America's Dairyland. And since then, it's blossomed into what it is today, an international scope event that most people that are either dairy producers and their partner vendors come and enjoy and exchange information.
That's really exciting. And so 47 years, that's very impressive. So it was just about showing cows, you were saying.
It was, and that's my love. I'm one of these typical Wisconsin farm kids, grew up in a small dairy right down the road here in Dane County where the Madison World Dairy Expo event is held. And so I like watching the cow show when I have a chance. But my main job during the World Dairy Expo is to host all of the global media partners that come in to cover the event and share that information back with the dairy producers from around the world.
Wow, that's a big job. It sounds like a lot of communication going back and forth. So how many different of these global media attendees do you get? And are people coming to this expo internationally who are looking to bring technologies that they find at this show back with them?
Very much, and we have a really interesting group or mix of people coming. Each year we have around 3,000 of the total 70,000 people that do come from other countries. And they come here not only for the technologies and newest research, but a lot of times it's just being able to rub shoulders with their fellow dairy producers and to share ideas that may have worked on the farm level with other people that have herds of cows back home.
Wow, that's amazing. So you have 70,000 attendees.
We do, and it keeps growing. We're very excited about this year. We've had a lot of international interest already, and of course we won't know until October 1st through the 5th exactly how many will make it in for the show, but we're looking for a strong turnout again this year.
So this year's theme, Center of the Dairy Universe, is very apt because people really are coming from all over the world to you guys.
Yeah, we like to think so. We like to think so, and it offers a lot of different facets. Not only can people come and sit down in the Coliseum undercover and watch over 2,500 of North America's beautiful dairy cattle walk through the show ring to compete for some of the awards, but But they can also go to educational seminars. They can have youth competitions to watch. And, of course, our large dairy trade show, which unveils a lot of the newest information for dairy farmers, a lot of the new products and services for dairy producers of all sizes.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about those three aspects. So first, the cow show. So how does that work, and how many participants do you generally have, and how many breeds are represented? That just sounds fascinating.
It is. And for anyone that's never seen a dairy cattle show, these breeders of dairy cattle from across North America, so Canada and the United States, take great pride and great care with these cattle. They basically are part of the family, so to speak. And they enjoy looking for the most beautiful animal that they have on the farm, and then they come to an event like World Dairy Expo where they can actually compete for awards. And when you bring an animal into a show of this magnitude, not only do the owners, and there's over 1,000 owners that usually travel to World Dairy Expo, come, but also a whole entourage that are basically caretakers for these animals because they care so much about them and want to make sure that they're always clean and comfortable. They get daily baths, and they have nice air-conditioned fan systems and such set up, and also water and feed at all times so that they're very comfortable in their surroundings. And they're kind of like rock stars in the cow world.
That sounds like a pretty good life. I'd sign up for that. And then, you know, so you're saying Canada and the United States. How many different breeds are you seeing? Are you seeing a majority of breeds that are a little bit more well-known, say like, you know, the Holstein breeds and Jerseys and things like
exactly.
that? Or do you see some of the European breeds as well?
Right now, the way the show is, we have 7 major dairy breeds. So you're exactly right. The breeds like the Holsteins, the Jerseys, Ayrshires, Milking Shorthorns, Red and Whites, and those types of breeds, Brown Swiss included. There is at times talk about perhaps opening it up in the future. Right now, to be honest, part of our limitation is the size of the facilities. Mm-hmm. We are at capacity. In fact, we have outgrown the hard structure barns that we have on grounds, and we're hopeful in the near future that we'll be adding pavilions to replace some of the temporary tent structures that we house the cattle in right now.
Wow, that's that sounds like it's a logistical it would be a logistical feat to to move from this step to that. But so that's very interesting. Okay, so you've got the 7 major dairy breeds, and then what kinds of awards are offered, and what does it mean for somebody to win an award at the expo?
That's an excellent question. As I said, these cattle owners take great pride in being able to develop enough cow families that they can compete at this level. This is considered one of the premier cattle shows in the entire world. And so if a person can breed an animal that can top either her age class or go ultimately to the top award in the breed, or even better than that, the Supreme Award, which is over all breeds, the top cow of all breeds is named each year, that means great opportunities for that person to further develop those cow families and to be able to help spread her genetics throughout the world so other farmers have a chance to also share in her beauty and the attributes that she will genetically pass on.
So stakes is high. That's pretty crazy. So if a cow wins, that means that her genetic her genetics could be spread throughout the world. Basically,
it is. It's quite a thing and very interesting business. And like I said, I'm a cow enthusiast, and we take a lot of love and passion into this show, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like anybody who loves animals, whether it's cows or, of course, here in New York City, we have the Westminster Dog Show, and it's
yes.
just it's another level of animal appreciation, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, can I ask who won the top award at last year's expo?
A cow by the name of Haley. Haley was a Holstein, and Haley competed well in her Holstein breed individually and won that division, and then she went on to be the supreme champion of World Dairy Expo. And we hear that Haley will be returning to compete again this year, so we're excited to see what she looks like coming back this year.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. Now, I have a question, and I hope this isn't too touchy, but I know some people in the dairy world are opposed to certain practices like certain growth hormones and stuff like that. Are those things taken into account in the show, or is milk production taken into account in the show as part of it, or is it a purely show thing?
We do also give production awards, and so cows are based or ranked, I should say, on their ability to produce good quality milk. That is a separate award within each class. And those animals, you know, they have, sometimes it's for high protein content, sometimes for high fat, or the combination of the two that those awards are based on.
Okay. Okay. That's that is very, very interesting stuff. I can get kind of geeky about all that stuff because I love, I feel like, you know, you've got to, being a cheese person, you've got to have good milk to have good cheese. So
that's right. High quality milk and high, you know, animals that are well cared for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So you've got the show, for the cows. Now the seminars. So if people are coming to the World Dairy Expo, they have an option to attend a wider array of seminars. Some of the ones that, were, you know, sort of, poking out at me this year through all the offerings were dairy sustainability, why it's important for you and your operation, how to survive current milk and feed prices, milking with robots, how is it done, and say when to tell your social media story. That's a pretty great range of topics to offer your attendees.
It is, and I think a lot of people may not recognize that today's dairy producers are very knowledgeable people. Most dairy producers nowadays in these families that own dairy operations are at least a college graduate, or if not, some of them have master's or PhDs, because there's so many facets to operate a business like a dairy operation. And so subjects like dairy sustainability has become a very front burner topic for our industry, trying to make sure that we continue to be good stewards not only of our cattle but also of the land that we use to raise the feed to feed the dairy cattle. That's become important topics, and so that's why we want to have the most current experts and the most wanted or needed sharing of information available for our people that come to the show. And certainly things like milking with robots. I'm sure a lot of your listeners may not understand that today's operations are quite technical in nature. And the reason that we've started using robotic milking systems is so the cow can actually choose when she gets milked. So it's kind of an interesting concept.
As a mother of a 9-month-old child, I can totally relate to why a cow would want to choose when she was milked, because gosh darn it, that could be pretty uncomfortable.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So these are all good things for the cow.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I feel like also when our listeners might not sort of be able to picture how a cow is milked with a robot, it's not like, you know, R2-D2 wheeling over to the cow and, you know, doing his thing. It's kind of the cow enters the parlor, gets into her stanchion, and then, you know, the milking system just kind of, you know, does its thing.
It does.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch, because they actually use a laser system to locate how the cow's mammary system is built. So they actually, here again, are using technology in a soft manner to not only make sure that the cow is clean and sanitary before the milking starts, but also to make sure that she's very comfortable while she's standing in that area being milked.
That is very, very cool. Well, I definitely want to get more into the trade show and the technology aspect of the World Dairy Expo. We're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to lead off with our curd word, which is a new cheese vocab segment here on Cutting the Curd, and then we'll talk more about the trade show. So stay
wonderful
with us.
You're listening to This Body by Pamela Royal on the heritageradionetwork.org. Keep it locked for more from Cutting the Curd. Today's program was brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Wisconsin cheeses have an illustrious heritage of more than 160 years of quality and craftsmanship. During this long and rich history, the art and science of cheesemaking have been captured in time-honored traditions that produce cheese varieties of unsurpassed excellence. Today, Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheeses that win more awards than any other state or country. To learn more, visit www.eatwisconsincheese.com.
And and we are back on Cutting the Curd. You can find Cutting the Curd and a whole host of other great food-centric shows and some non-food-centric shows on the Heritage Radio Network at heritageradionetwork.org. So we're going to lead off the second segment today with our curd word, which today is bocconcini. Bocconcini is a term describing a traditional fresh mozzarella ball weighing about 2 ounces. And bocconcini literally translates from Italian to English as little mouthfuls. So if you've ever seen a little tiny ball of mozzarella, that's what it is, bocconcini. And we also have today a little bit of funny cheese news from the state of Wisconsin. I mean, who would have guessed it? This comes from the Star Tribune. It was actually published on September 12, 2013. The title of the article, A Slick Move, Milwaukee to Mix Cheese Brine Rock Salt to De-Ice Streets This Winter. So how funny is that? I love it. The dairy state putting its cheese brine to good use. It's going to de-ice the streets this winter. Isn't that hysterical?
It is great.
Yeah, it says Milwaukee has experimented with alternative de-icing products before, such as beet juice in 2009, which when mixed with salt in the city's trucks turned into something resembling oatmeal. So, cheese brine, after a while, you know, you just got to get rid of that stuff. And so why not use it to help with the roads?
Another way to recycle, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So our guest today, we are talking with Janet Keller, who is the Communications and Public Relations Manager for this year's World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. And Janet, we're just going to start talking a little bit about the trade show aspect of the World Dairy Expo, where new dairy technologies are unveiled. Can you tell us a little bit about that aspect of the show?
Sure, Anne. We have a very large trade show, and again, it's recognized as the premier trade show for the dairy producers in the world. This year, we're expecting a little better than 850 exhibiting companies. Some of those actually have more than one booth because we have multiple sites within our facility campus where Dairy Expo is held. But a lot of these companies do come from other countries. I believe the last tally I heard today was that we're up to 28 different countries represented coming in the trade show realm this year. So, countries that traditionally we probably wouldn't think of here in the U.S. as being dairy countries, but there will be countries like Israel, countries like Italy, United Kingdom, China, a lot of different countries, Russia will be coming and sharing some of their technologies that they have made available for dairy production. A lot of interesting things in this trade show, and every year we're even amazed on staff how many new things are being unveiled. The dairy industry tends to be a very prolific invention hotbed, especially right now because of people starting to transition their operations. There's a lot of different style of dairy herds out there, and so you need the equipment and the products and services that go along with the diversification that's happening out there.
And so what are some of the things that have caught your eye in the past couple years as far as technologies that people might not be aware of for dairying?
I think there are some that they may have heard some news on the early horizon, and that those would be things like methane digesters. Those are becoming more and more affordable. Originally, some of those were more in the research phase, and they were trying them on some of the larger dairy farms across the United States. Some of those now are being designed for smaller operations and have become much more affordable. And here again, talking about sustainability, so that farmers may use some of these systems, not only for energy, but there's also other technologies that are available to deal with the waste from a dairy cow, so that they can recycle the dry part of the waste and such into bedding, actually, back into the dairy. So a lot of those technologies are really cool and cutting edge right now.
Wow, that is really exciting. Well, I feel like, yeah, any way to get closer to sustainability is always a great thing and an economic incentive for farmers as well. There's another one that caught my eye, smartphone software designed to track individual cow health and production. So that's pretty cool. A farmer can sort of have an app on their phone that can help them track how Bessie or Haley or whoever the cow is might be doing in the parlor.
That's right. Who'd have thought? But again, we have younger and younger farmers entering the systems now. It used to be 10 or 15 years ago, the average age of dairy farmers was actually quite old, in their 50s or 60s. But that's changing. more and more young people that are coming through college that have agriculture background, and a lot that do not have agriculture background have taken a keen interest in becoming a dairy producer. And with that age group has come the demand, not only the need, but the desire to have things on their smartphone and on their tablets and iPods and everything else, right? So a lot of this new software is being developed to help meet that need where they can actually get better record keeping and be able to archive individual dairy cow or dairy herd information to help ensure that, again, that the cow is always in the ultimate care realm.
That is really, really cool. I was thinking, I have a friend who makes cheese, and she makes a note of what music she was listening to each day when she made the cheese. Maybe there could be an iTunes tie-in where you could, you know, get your playlist to be what makes the cows produce the most milk. I've heard that cows who listen to music produce more milk. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think that would be an excellent product.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing that I wanted to touch a little bit further on. The aspect of younger people getting into the dairy business, it's really exciting to hear because I know that, you know, dairy farming is certainly not an easy business, and over the past 20 years, probably longer, you know, there's been a severe drop off in the number of dairy farms in this country. How do you gear your expo towards, getting younger people in? Or if you don't, what do you attribute the influx of young people to?
We actually, as a mission with World Dairy Expo, one of our missions is to help educate and work with the youth, because we do realize that they are the future, truly the future, not only of our industry, but everything in agriculture and for better communities across the United States and abroad. So we try very hard to provide opportunities at Expo. Some of the things that we have are very related to the cattle show. They would be things like we have a junior show for the Holstein kids that are showing that particular breed. We also have what we call fitting and showmanship contests, where the animal isn't judged, but the ability of that youngster to prepare their animal to show and then to show the animal to the judge to the best of their ability is judged. So you're actually judging the youth instead of the animal, and those are fun and very competitive. We also have FFA contests and 4-H contests where they actually are evaluating dairy cattle, dairy products, things like that that help them develop skills that could further their career advancement later on, or their interest in going to college to study agriculture.
That is very exciting. And how young do children start participating in these different things?
Traditionally, about 9 years of age. However, I will share with you, we have because this dairy business in America is very family-oriented, well over 95% of the dairies in the United States are family-owned. And so it's not only a business, but it is also the family's life. And so a lot of times people will actually take vacations from the farm to come to Expo as a family. And in those cases, you might see children younger than 9 out there helping mom and dad get the animals ready. They definitely pick up brooms and help. You know, they're learning responsibilities at a very young age, but they love it because they love their animals so much and they like spending time with them whenever they can.
That's really intense. So how do you imagine, I guess people have a variety of ways of dealing with that, but leaving a dairy farm for any amount of time is certainly stressful for the owners because, you know, dairy animals continue to produce milk all the time. So do you have a good idea of how people are able to kind of cope with that when they come to the expo?
You're right. You're exactly right. Dairy farming is a 24-hour-a-day job, so to speak. And I say that seriously. Yes, we all sleep and try to get as many hours sleep as we can, but the dairy animals need care, you know, around the clock, so to speak. And, for instance, when a cow decides that she's going to have a calf, farmers usually get up and watch to make sure she doesn't have any problems, so she needs some assistance. They're there. And so the hours are pretty intense, and people, I guess in a nutshell, people would not be a dairy farmer if they didn't have a passion for their animals and a love for what they do. But when they leave, a lot of them have either other family members that stay home. And in those cases, a lot of them will go to our website, worlddairyexpo.com, and there's actually a live streaming area where they can watch the show in progress. So even though they might be home taking care of things on the home farm, they can check in when they're in the house or their barn office and take a look at the show going on, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that is very cool. That is very cool. So something that occurred to me while we were talking is, you know, we're talking a lot about cows. What emphasis is given to other dairying animals at the Dairy Expo, goats, sheep, and even others that I might not be, buffalo, other things that I'm not thinking about?
You know, we have a lot of the vendors that actually are coming to World Dairy Expo with equipment or products or services for those other milk-producing species. Unfortunately, we don't have shows right now because, again, we're limited on our barns, the size of our barns, and the ability to stable any more animals. However, there are more and more because of the popularity of those milks going into some of the high quality artisan cheeses and such that there is a need for the services and products that go along with them. So we do have, for instance, one company does come in and they actually have goat milker machines on display.
That's cool. I'm kind of partial to goats, so I guess that's why I asked that question. I love goats. I feel like
sure.
I love cows, obviously too, and sheep. But I feel like goats, for whatever reason, they get me. They're a little
they're endearing.
Yeah, definitely. And so we talked a little bit about novel technologies that come out of the show. What about different dairy products? What are some? I guess I'm interested to know what are some sort of products that are available at the show or that are unveiled at the show that people might not think of or know about?
Sure, that's an excellent question. We don't have a product display per se. We have a limited one, which places like the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board and Ellsworth Cheese Company and some others do actually have their products on display, and actually attendees coming to the show can buy and take home with them, which is kind of neat. You know, things like cheese curds are very popular. On-site, we also have the Badger Dairy Club from our own University of Wisconsin-Madison here. They make homemade grilled cheese sandwiches and homemade malts on-site for all of the attendees to buy if they wish, and they're delicious. But we also have a number of events, for instance, the Recognition Award Banquet, where some of our partners, sponsoring partners, actually bring some of the wonderful United States cheeses in to display and for the attendees of that particular event to nibble on. And so lots and lots of really good things, like some of the good Goudas, some of the, you know, the better Swiss cheeses. There's just a whole variety of those types of things available throughout the event. And then there's lots of other events off-site because of the number of people that come to town at other receptions and banquets that are shared with those global visitors.
That's very interesting. And I guess I'm also thinking about things that, maybe traditional cheese sellers wouldn't think about. Like, is there an emphasis on, for instance, whey powder or anything like that? Do you see a lot of technologies addressing that aspect of the industry as well, beyond just fluid milk and cheese?
There is some, but here again, we don't focus as much on the processing end for this show as much as we do on the dairy cattle management end.
I see.
However, I also share with you, we also have the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest. And the contest itself is judged about 2 weeks ago prior to the event. But we will have an auction of all of those products. So everything from ice cream entries from across the country to butter entries to cheeses, cottage cheeses, just a wide array of different dairy products that will be actually auctioned off during our event.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Well, I look forward to seeing what some of those are. That's got to be a very interesting auction.
Fun.
So the expo is taking place this year, October 1st through the 5th. And you said to learn more, you can visit worlddairyexpo.com. And I'm assuming if someone's coming to the expo, there must be varying types of tickets available, right? For like a one day or the whole thing?
Sure.
Or how does that work?
Yeah. Exactly. We have daily admission for $10 per person, and we also have a season pass, which is for the entire 5 days, for $30. And we do encourage people that are traveling distances to come to the show to consider staying for at least a couple of days. There's a lot of things to see, a lot of things to experience, a lot of educational seminars, virtual farm tours, a whole plethora of things on our 160-acre campus that you can experience for World Dairy Expo.
Wow. Well, that is so great. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us, Janet. I really appreciate it, and I wish you guys a very successful event this year.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Cutting the Curd.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.